Intervju Radija Študent.
Dobar dan, lep pozdrav v intervjuju Radija Študent. Danes bomo slišali posnetek pogovora z Johnom Steinerjem, bobnarjem zasedbe Beatles, ki danes večer nastopi v kinu Šiška. Pred njimi bo moč slišati še ŠKM bando. Mislim, da se koncert začne ob 9:30, pa potem Beatlesi se pravi malo po 10. Beatles je pa ena newyorška zanimiva zasedba, včasih so bili štirje, je bil z njimi še Tyondae Braxton, ki se potem odločil za samostojno pot, tako da zdaj je Beatles ostal trio, so prav zelo zanimiva skupina, ki igra, rečemo temu, nekak eksperimentalen rock, čeprav ga znajo zelo lepo zapakirati v tako bolj pop formo, ampak znotraj nje pač se dogajajo zelo zanimive stvari. Tako da, dajmo najprej slišati skladbo Ice Cream, v kateri gostuje Matija Saguajo, nekaj o njem je povedal tudi John v intervjuju. Se pravi najprej skladba Ice Cream, potem pa, kar bomo slišali intervju.
Yeah. How's the tour been going so far? This was how many gigs did you do so far?
I have no idea. A lot.
When did you start this tour?
Well, being that we've only had a tiny bit of time off in between tours, I'd say the tour kind of started in April, mm-hmm. early April.
When did the previous tour end?
Well, I mean, okay, we've been touring nonstop since April, mm-hmm. so it hasn't really. We started in Japan, then we did Europe, and we went from Japan to Europe, then Europe straight to the U.S. I think we had maybe 2 days off. Then we did a lot of the U.S., and then again we had, I think, 3 or 4 days off. Then now we're back in Europe again.
Mm-hmm. This was the tour for the Gloss Drop album.
Yeah.
Is this more a tour where you play in these venues that are inside, smaller clubs and smaller venues, or festivals?
No, it's mostly, I mean, this month it's mostly festivals. Mm-hmm. Most we did, and you know, Glastonbury, Roskilde.
Do you prefer to play on big stages, like big festivals?
It doesn't matter. Both are fun, you know.
I know you have quite a specific approach to playing live, so maybe it shows better in a smaller venue, no?
Well, I mean, we have so much equipment that the stage does have to be a certain size. Like, we couldn't play, you know, mm-hmm. on that.
Right.
But I like festivals. Festivals are fun, and small clubs are fun, too. So, I like them both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw lots of equipment on stage already. And you are one member down since last August.
Yep.
And it probably shows especially when playing club, because is it Toyonday or Tyundai?
Tyundai.
Because he was quite an important part, especially, I mean, in the studio as well, but also when playing live, he was playing synth and guitar, singing probably.
I don't think he was any more important than anyone else. I don't think, he wasn't really the, like, singer or frontman or anything like that. I think sometimes people assume that he was because of the song Atlas, because it was a big song, you know, where, and there's actual singing on that, mm-hmm. but Ian has always done the same thing as well, plays keyboards and guitar at the mm-hmm. same time, mm-hmm. so it's different, but it's, you know, it's a little more work, but it's doable.
Right. You know, when you play in different countries, you said you played in Japan on this mm-hmm. tour, and also you play in states in Europe, do you get the feeling that Where you are the most popular? Is it more in Europe, more in the States?
I don't know. That's a hard question to answer. We do well in Japan, the U.S., and England. We do mm-hmm. seem to do really well. But
you're not sure for the old Europe.
No, and Europe as well. Yeah, it's impossible to say. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Before Mirrored came out in 2007, you know, some people knew you, I mean, you started your career in 2002, I think,
yeah.
soon after the millennium. But after Mirrored came out, you soon became one of the biggest bands, especially in the alter scene. This is my perception that it happened almost during the night. When Mirrored came out, do you have the same feeling?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. We toured an awful lot on those EPs before Mirrored. But I think that it's, you know, we signed to Warp Records, so that kind of ups our profile significantly. Mm-hmm. And then the song Atlas did very well, so that, you know, and we got really good, like, festival spots and stuff like that. So. It did kind of happen mm-hmm. rather quickly.
All three of you have experience with playing in other bands as mm-hmm. well. So what would you say that it's different with Batters? Because, I mean, all the bands you were involved with were really popular with specific listeners, within specific scenes maybe.
Right.
But Batters is more widely acknowledged maybe.
Right.
Or, So what do you think is the big difference?
Well, you kind of just answered the question, kind of. I think that it's four totally different people from different areas, that or three now, obviously, but that have that. I think that there's a lot of different people like what we're doing because there's so many different elements, you know, like people that only listen to electronic music can really like us. Rock people can really like us. So there's elements of a bunch of different things that are put into one. Whereas our previous bands, like you said, were more very genre specific. So
You mentioned Warp Records, that it helped you a bit. So you know, record labels are still important today, because it seems that, you know, the selling of the records is going down, so it has a different role than it used to have.
Yeah, but I think Warp is unique in the sense that they're almost like a brand, almost more than a label. They're like, they have their arms in everything, so they're kind of more of a brand, really. So it's true that, yeah, a label just doesn't manufacture your record and put it out, and that's all they have to do, like a long time ago, you know, and hopefully it gets played on the radio and people buy your record, because no one buys records anymore. So now it's more about playing live, it's about getting syncs, it's about working with your publishing a little bit more, you know, there's all these different kinds of avenues that you can take now, as opposed to just basically one a really long time ago.
Right. And how did this connection with Warp come about?
A very good friend of ours, an artist on Warp, this guy Prefy73, just recommended us to Warp, and it was pretty simple, really.
And you contacted them and they liked your
music? Yeah, they just came and saw us, we hung out with them, they came and saw us again, we hung out with them again, blah blah blah, they said we're interested in signing you, and that was it, really.
Because they were mostly known for electronic music in the past, but there are some.
Yeah, now they're. I mean, I think they're more. They're definitely breaking out of just that. Yeah, but a long time ago, yeah, they were exclusively electronic.
Right. You mentioned there is a lot work in the band nowadays because of the record sales going down. That you have to be involved in other areas of band as well. But do you still get the opportunity to spend as much time as you like working on new material or new albums?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it took us forever just to make this record, so there's no rush, really. I mean, there sort of is. It's like I understand the labels, like, you know, hurry up a little bit, but they're not. You know, we don't want to put out something that we're not 100% behind and. They want it to be good as well, so it's like, it's, you know, it's better to take your time, I think.
When did you start working on this record?
Over 2 years ago. Yes,
so
it just took forever.
I was still in the band at that time.
Yeah, in the beginning, for I'd say the first, I mean, it just took forever. Certain people weren't very inspired, and we had to wait for people's solo records that took way too long, and, you know, there were all these delays. And then the next thing you know, it's like we're already a year late. And then as we started working, we came up with some stuff that no one was really happy with. And then we turned into a three-piece. And then basically just turned around and redid everything and just kind of started from scratch. And and that took about 4 months, maybe, to do all that.
And how did these ideas come about when you start? Planning a new album, because this new one is quite different to the previous one. You know, so did you have a worked out idea on how this album should look?
I think, yeah, a lot of the record is, because we spent so long doing it, there were ideas that have been around. A lot of the record is based on little small ideas that have been floating around for years with us that either didn't make Mirrored or were written right after Mirrored or something, but we have a closet full of ideas and stuff. So it was that, and like the majority of it, I'd say 90% of it was written in the studio. Whereas with Mirrored, we wrote it in the rehearsal room, and we played out live before we recorded it, and you know, And then we just went up and recorded everything in the studio. Whereas this, Glossorop, was definitely written in the studio.
Mm-hmm. So. Because it seems, maybe a bit more about Tayonda. What changed the most after he left the band?
Well, I mean, I think that the record, like you kind of just said, the record became much more direct and focused, and we became a band again, whereas before it wasn't really a team effort. It was, certain people didn't want to be there and weren't really participating at all in the writing, and so I think it kind of put a lot of pressure under us again when we became a three-piece. And the three of us were definitely all on the same page about really wanting to just finish this record and make sure that it's really good and sort of take our time with it, but also just get it done, really. So that probably changed the most, is that we became a much more tight-knit, focused band. We kind of became a band again, whereas mm-hmm. before it wasn't really happening.
Mm-hmm. Did you like his Central Market solo record?
I don't really, I don't think I've ever even heard it, to be honest.
where he was still in the Beatles. Did you maybe consider when he left the band that you will need someone else to replace him, you know, because...
Well, honestly, it happened so fast that, we didn't have any time to, like sit down and have this huge discussion of like, you know, do we want to continue as an instrumental band? Do we want to just hire a singer? Do we want to try to find someone to replace him, like this magical fourth person? Because that could take years to find that person. And it's like, it was pretty weird. We didn't have any time to do that. It was more like the pressure was on, and we just had to get back to the studio and mm-hmm. finish the record, basically. Mm-hmm. So,
how did collaborations with all the singers come about?
That was simple. That was actually the easiest part of making the record. Mm-hmm.
You just contacted them and...
Yeah, there's four songs that have guest vocals on them, and three of them were... All four were very easy, but three of them were especially easy because, you know, we know... It's like I from the Boredoms. We have direct sort of connections with the Boredoms because we go to Japan all the time and we share some of their crew. And, you know, I've known I for a while, and that was simple. Kazu from Blonde Redhead, they're from New York. We know them for a really long time. It was just a matter of calling her. She's, yes, we just picked her up, drove to the studio. She did it in one night, mm-hmm. went back, simple. Matias Aguayo, I used to live in Cologne, so I know Compact, his label, and his manager is a really good friend of mine, and that was really easy. And then Gary Newman was sort of the fantasy kind of like, that would be amazing if we could somehow get Gary Newman, not thinking that ever was going to work, but that was totally simple. We just had Warp call his people. He said, send me the track. We sent him the track. He liked it, and he was on tour in the US, and we went and saw him in Boston, and he was just really nice and cool, and just did it. It was easy.
Mm-hmm. When we were saying that Drop Gloss is a bit more focused or pointed in one direction, I have a feeling that in some way it may be that you wanted to there was this post-African rhythm stuff going on in rock, contemporary rock music, especially with younger bands. Deer Hunter maybe tried a bit of that, or in that direction. Did you maybe have this idea of trying to do this post-African rhythm stuff, or because?
No, not at all. Mm. And I'm saying that because we didn't, again, it's like we were so cut off and isolated from the rest of the world when we were making this record, and all this really bad stuff happened to us, that, and we were sleeping in the studio and it's in the middle of nowhere, and like, so we didn't really, there's, the Glossorop has like almost zero outside influences. It's all stuff that we have been messing around with for a really long time, or ideas that each one of us has had for 10, 20 years, but we've never used before, or like, there was a lot of like, really like digging deep down in yourself and like trying to find ideas that you haven't, that you hadn't used in years, or you never got to use or anything like that. But it definitely was not, it's not the result of any sort of like outside, you know, like you said, like post-African, there's not really any of that, so.
Mm-hmm.
But if we did do any African stuff, we, I think we are allowed to do that because Ian grew up in Africa. So, there you go.
Excellent. yeah, another question. You know, you said that you had all these various ideas that came up during your career, but how do you work on that ideas when you're on a studio? How does the, you know, creation of the songs begin? You just...
It usually starts, it almost always starts with just one small loop or a drum beat or just one solid tiny little idea, and then everyone sort of takes that and they take it home and they listen to it and they write by themselves, and then they come back and they throw in, okay, here's a bunch of ideas for this part or whatever, and it just grows and grows and grows. It's not, there's never, we definitely don't write songs by like jamming. We never do that. We've tried and it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So
because you're when you're performing live, I had a feeling that it's much based on jamming or improvisation, is it not?
Not at all. It's the complete opposite of that.
Uh-huh.
Like, we don't, it's very, everything is very well thought out and very well, everything has its perfect place, mm-hmm. and things happen as a result of something else happening, and which only is happening because of something else. You know, everything, it's like a giant puzzle. So everything has its place.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no room for...
Can you tell us a bit about the current setup for the live performance? Is it guitar, drums, bass, synth? Probably lots of effects.
Yeah, exactly that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because when...
And I have a round drum carpet.
Round drum carpet?
Yeah. You know how most... You know the rug that the drums go on? Usually they're square,
mm-hmm.
but mine's round.
Uh-huh. Special reason for that?
A friend of ours in Holland saw it and bought it for me.
Uh-huh. So does that affect the way you play drums?
I think it does. It makes me play more well-rounded.
Excellent.
And not as square.
Mm-hmm. So maybe just one last question. What are we going to hear tonight? Is it going to be mostly stuff from Drop Gloss or some older stuff as well?
Both.
Mm-hmm. And what is a successful gig for you?
When people are going like this.
Mm-hmm. Does that happen a lot?
Yeah.
Excellent. Maybe just one more question. Did you see any really nice gig that, you know, got you interested lately? You play lots of festivals.
I saw the Walkmen. They were really good.
Walkmen.
Yeah.
They played here.
Yeah, I see that. We played with them in a field or on a farm in Switzerland. That was pretty cool. I don't know.
That's it. Okay. Should be enough.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Takole, to je bil torej pogovor z bobnarjem zasedbe Battles, ki smo ga naredili pred kakšno urco, so se jih pripravljali na tonsko vajo med drugim. Gre pa za en zelo zanimiv band, kot rečem, pač newyorški band. Zelo so ga pohvalili pa predvsem v kontekstu koncertov, tako da je stvar, seveda, če ste v Ljubljani, zelo priporočljiva za videti. Pred njimi, kot rečeno, Šakama banda, začne se ob 9:30, za konc pa dajmo slišati še eno skladbo z njihove plošče. Mislim, da je Gloss Drop točno. Intervju sem pripravil Goran, lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.